Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, that's pound 529, from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And we begin the Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross here at Circus Sports, Fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Michael Lombardi, RGM, back on the East Coast as we begin week number 12 of the NFL tonight. Michael, what a show we've got on the docket here on a Thursday. Harry Gagnon is going to join us here later on this hour. Harry's been on fire with some of his prop plays. Mike Palm's going to join us in studio in hour number two. So, you know, Michael, be ready because those Palm pressing three questions are coming for you today. And then Chris Sims is going to join us here to round out the show today to get his thoughts on the game tonight and everything in week 12. But, Michael, it's that time of year, my friend, where it's not just the game, but it's also the weather report that you have to start looking at here in Lake Erie. And with the Steelers coming to town to the Browns tonight, Elliot Bowman, I don't know if he's our resident weatherman here at VSiN. 81% chance of snow tonight, Michael. So it's going to be cold. We know that for sure. The total has been steamed down. It opened up in the 40s, down all the way to 36, bounced back up to 37 a little bit. Steelers 3.5. How does that weather play into tonight's game?
Well, I mean, look, forget the percentage. When you say Cleveland and it's going to snow, you can throw out the percentage, right? I mean, you know, the percentages are only for, like, New Jersey. You know, we might have snow, we may not. You know, Virginia, they may. I mean, that works there. In Cleveland on Lake Erie, throw out, it's snowing, okay? It's going to snow at some point. It's going to come down. They could call it lake effect. That's the right one they invent when it creeps up on them that they didn't know it was coming. Well, it was lake effect. We didn't see it coming. Okay, great. Thank you very much. Look, I mean, you know, when you break the Steelers down on their five-game win streak, they've been very effective running the football. I mean, that's what they've done, and they've made big plays down the field. They've run the football. You know, they've been able to hold opponents to 17.8 yards per game. They rush for 152 yards over this five-game span. And, you know, for all the idiots that think that Justin Fields should still be the quarterback, I mean, just, you know, they make more plays in the passing game. Wilson averages 7.8 yards per attempt. Fields is at 6'9". You know, Fields, you know, Wilson's already thrown for 942 yards in four games, and Fields only threw for 1,106. So there lies the difference. And so we can stop that nonsense that they shouldn't have benched Fields. So I think this is perfect. It plays to the under. It's a defensive struggle. Look, the Brownies haven't scored more than 18 points in any game other than one game when they played the Ravens. Think about that, Dave.
Wow.
They've only scored more than 18 points one time all season. And that was against the Jaguars. They scored 18. Other than that, they've been below 17. Last week was remarkable. They have 443 yards. They don't turn the ball over. Of course, they miss a field goal. And they only score 14 points. Yeah. So, you know, look, to me, I think it's a low-scoring game. I'd be shocked if it was any different. The field will be fine. I mean, it's cold. The players are used to it. They're Pittsburgh, Cleveland. They know how to play in that stuff.
No, Alex Highsmith. That might be the key injury, obviously, for the Steelers, out with that ankle. Jedrick Wills will be out for the left tackle spot here for the Browns with his knee situation. So those feel like the only two big.
Well, he's making a business decision. Wills. He's a free agent. He's making a business decision. Ooh. I mean, that guy, you know, that guy, he's going to become a free agent. They picked up his fifth-year option. He wants, you know, he wants to stay healthy for the year, which just tells you the disconnect within this building that's there. And of course, they're so analytically driven that, you know, there's no accountability and there's nobody ever really talked about, you know, we've got to practice harder or play harder. You know, they're just going to let Willis get away with that. I mean, look, Tristan Wirfs down in Tampa, they picked Willis over Wirfs. Mm. And, you know, they made the wrong pick there, clearly.
Yeah, that is very interesting, the tentacles coming about it. We talked a little bit about it yesterday with Kevin Stefanski, whether or not he's worried about his job security there. The quarterback situation obviously is a mess. Jameis Winston, of course, will be going tonight in this game. We know that the trends all lean towards the Browns in this spot here, the underdogs, AFC North divisional games, 48-31, 61% since 2018 best of any division here. We talked about it before the program, Michael, that the Steelers, this is not their pedigree on Thursday nights, right? They just don't fare well normally traditionally on Thursday night.
Well, I think what you have to do is, you know, look, last week we said take the Steelers and the points, don't watch the game because it'll be ugly and right. You'll get in the fourth quarter and you'll finally wait to win, right? Well, this is a game you got to take the Browns because the Steelers have never won a divisional Thursday night game in their career with Mike Tomlin. They're 0-7 straight up. They're 1-6 against the spread. So if you're going to play trends last week, you got to play trends this week, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's really challenging. And whenever you play the Ravens or you play, you know, the next week is always a harder game. You know, one thing we do know about the AFC North, the underdogs have been a cash cow. They're 48-31 against the spread since 2018. It's the best by far in any division. You know, so when you do that, you know, they've been over 500 for seven straight years. And since 21, they're 26-16. So you have to take it here. Now, when you take it, you know what you're going, you know who you're laying in bed with, right?
Yeah.
Jameis Winston, right?
In the cold.
You know, and so, yeah. But, you know, the fact is he doesn't like cold weather either. He's only played in five games below 50 degrees. We don't really know. We don't even know what he's going to react to. He's played in no games in his NFL career below 40 degrees.
Oh, boy. See, that's what makes me nervous because all the numbers we just gave out, they do scream Cleveland, right? And I think your point is well taken that if you played this style, right, with the Steelers getting the points last week against the Ravens because that is where those trends led us to go, and, of course, that cashes, then you would follow that same logic here with the Browns. But I think you give a good butt on the end of that discussion where everything seems to point to Cleveland, and then I can just hear Tomlin, you know, like fire and brimstone and telling his guys that the Ravens game doesn't mean anything if we don't beat the Browns, and our goal was to win the division. It wasn't to beat Baltimore. Like, I can hear all those things. And I wonder if you've got one team that still has obviously everything to play for here in Pittsburgh. They're 11-1 long shots to win the division all spring and summer against a team in the Browns that feels like they are done. That I don't want to say quit. We don't hate. Yeah. We hate using that word, but absolutely nothing to play for and have to revamp their whole team in the offseason. Is there anything to that? That the team that needs it, that wants it, that has to have it, but the other team can only really at this point play spoiler?
Well, I mean, I think to me that when you're dealing with rivalry, it's the uniform, right?
Yeah.
I mean, these two, whatever uniform the stupid Browns wear tonight, you know, they could be in those ugly brown pants, you know, whatever. But it's the uniform, right? I mean, it's the rivalry that has gone on forever. I mean, last year was the first time since 1989 that the Browns finished ahead of the Steelers in the standings. But going back to the old AFC Central, right?
Oof.
And so to me, this there's a great rivalry between the two franchises. They're close together. You know, Ohio, Pennsylvania, you know, that's what makes it so good. Their kids grow up. I mean, Youngstown, Steubenville, that's kind of a border city. Some people are Steelers fans, some are Browns. That's what makes the game so good. And I think that plays off. I think even the traditions and the history of the game come into this. But I think when you break the game down, you look at the Steelers' inability to win on Thursday night, and then you look at the Browns' defense, which has been atrocious this year, right? They can't stop the run at all. They have a hard time stopping the pass. They really have struggled on pass defense. They give up 7.8 yards per attempt. I mean, it's the fourth worst mark in the NFL. Last year, they were down about 5.9 in there, you know, which was one of the better teams in the league. They can't rush the passer to the same level that they used to. And their run defense has gotten incredibly worse. They were at 4.3 yards rush per attempt last year. This year, they're up to 4.8.
Eesh.
I mean, they can't stop the run, and they can't stop the pass. They've really and the worst part of all this, David, is getting the Charger game, they blow coverages. Not only do they play poorly, they play stupidly.
Not a good combination. When you see the Steelers now, Michael, are over a $2 betting favorite to win this division. Like, that's the point that I go, oh, man, that feels a little bit too heavy to me. You get the Ravens now plus money. I mean, let's be honest, this is clearly a two-horse race. Bengals, what is it, 80-1 you're looking at here to win the division? Come on. So we know right now it is that two-horse race. Is this the time to buy in on the Ravens at plus $1.60? You look at the Steelers' schedule, it's daunting.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so because, I mean, look, they're in the state of Ohio for the next 3 weeks. They play in Cleveland, then they go to Cincinnati on 10-day rest, then they come back and play Cleveland. But then they have to go to Philly and they have to go to Baltimore, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, they're and then they end the season at home versus Kansas City, which is going to mean something for Kansas City. We know that as Buffalo and them are kind of battling it out. And then they end up at home against Cincinnati. So, look, you know, it's one game at a time. I get all that. But the schedule's daunting. I mean, if I'm in Baltimore, I don't give up. But here's the thing I would worry about if I'm in Baltimore. I let the Browns score more points on me than any team in the league. How good is Baltimore's defense? I mean, that's got to worry you.
Yeah, it does, and that's the game. When you look at this head-to-head matchup here with the Ravens now plus $1.60, that really could ultimately decide the division if the Steelers were to win tonight in Cleveland. Because that loss from the Ravens at the hands of the Browns, the second tiebreaker after head-to-head, if this is all we're all assuming, the Ravens beat the Steelers back in Charm City, would be the division. So if the Steelers could take care of business in the division and end up tied with the Ravens, even if they split that head-to-head, they still would win the division. So tonight's game really is important for that divisional standings here going down the stretch. And, Michael, this is crazy, all right? But I'm just going to throw it out there. If the Steelers ran the table, they'd be the number one seed because that would, in theory, mean a win over the Chiefs, and then the Chiefs would have a second loss. I mean, this is insane what we potentially the Steelers could be.
But, you know, look, the Steelers don't care about what they look like. They care about winning the game,
right?
So they kick field. They've won two games this year just kicking field goals. I mean, they're not worried about what you think they look like. They're not worried about doing what you think you should do. They're not worried about what the kid in the basement in Des Moines says they ought to do. They're worried about winning the game, right?
Absolutely. You know? Yeah, they don't care about how the style points, which quarterback we should be playing according to the media. Mike Tomlin goes out, coaches his team, wins games, and at the end of the year, here they are right now, minus 225 to win this division. Absolutely fascinating. A lot of other injuries, Michael, around the NFL, including one that I didn't see coming, maybe in Minnesota. We'll discuss all of that when you come back with us here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are back on the Thursday edition here on the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi with you as we go through some of these news and notes around the league, how it might affect the games this weekend. And, you know, back in the old days, Michael, I remember, you know, as a kid, it was like, you know, probable, questionable, doubtful, right? Those are the three things. And, of course, out, you knew that they're out. Now you're seeing limited practices a lot, and I'm wondering if limited practice is the new probable. And I do want to start, though, with what's happening in New York with the Giants. Daniel Jones is now listed as fourth on the depth chart. Now, Michael, I didn't see this fall from grace coming to the point where he might never suit up again. Like, what are we doing now? Why don't we just make him sixth on the depth chart? What's going on with Daniel Jones?
Well, it's a football decision, Dave. Remind yourself of that, right? They gave this guy $40 million, and now they got Tim Boyle ahead of him on the depth chart. It's strictly all about football, right? I mean, well, they have to say that for the collective bargaining agreement. They have to put that out there because they're making a salary cap decision. They don't want to be on the hook for $25 million. And so they're going to do everything in their power to basically they're telling you now they're going to cut Daniel Jones. Mm. And, you know, they should cut him anyway. They should just cut him now. You know, I'm sure he'll probably they wouldn't know him the next year's contract. Who would touch it? They probably would go. They could parlay the money off into next season. I mean, instead of going through this charade, why would they just not cut him?
Yeah, and that was going to be my question.
But they are. I mean, you're actually going to put Tim Boyle on the field and tell your locker room, "Yeah, we're going to try to win today with Tim Boyle. Don't worry, we got it with Tim Boyle. Don't worry. Yeah, have you watched tape on Tim Boyle, guys? We're going to win this. Don't worry. You know." I mean, come on. It's a joke. It's comical. You know, but look, it's comical that they gave him $40 million. I mean, they just continue to run a comedy. I mean, you'd think that Sherman Schwartz is writing this thing for Gilligan's Island. It's a comedy.
I don't understand, because it does feel like now, like, we're just kind of slapping the guy in the face a little bit. We'll make you fourth on the depth chart. Tim Doyle, as you mentioned, would be the third guy. Does it make any difference to keep him on the roster versus cutting him now? Like, is it a professional courtesy to keep him on the roster until the end of the year? Like, what's the point of all this, of just, you know, like running through the charade, as you mentioned?
Well, the point is they don't want to be on the hook for the $25 million. They want to do everything in their power, which is why you cut the player. Now, they still would owe him the money this year.
Right.
Right? They still would owe him the money, but they would basically allow him to go. Somebody claimed, so he's a vested veteran. He has to go through the waiver wire. Somebody would have to claim him. Right?
Yeah.
And then they would assume the contract. They would assume the guarantees, right? But the Giants are the worst combination of any team you could be. They have no cap room and they have a bad team. Mm. That's the worst place to land, right? You're a bad team with no cap room. And so they can't cut them because I think they only have $2 million worth of cap room. Ugh. And the acceleration from his prior contracts would dump into him and they would put him over the cap. So they're trying to massage this way. It's really stupid. I mean, it's just horrible thinking. I mean, they've gotten to this point. They had to know that this was problematic. Like, wow. I said last year, if they needed more money to sign Saquon Barkley, go to Daniel Jones and say, Daniel, look, let's restructure your deal a little bit here. Give me $5 million back. I'll give it to you in incentives. I'll make it easy for you to earn it. Here it is, but we keep Barkley.
Wow.
You win yourself over with the locker room. You come in the locker room, and I'll tell everybody you did it. And everybody will love you even more.
It is,
but they don't think like that.
Just crazy what's happening there. Now officially fourth in the depth chart. By the way, Kayvon Thibodeaux did return to practice on Wednesday, so I guess that's some good news in advance of their game against the Buccaneers. And also Mike Evans was at practice planning to play in that game against the Giants. But just insane to see what's happening there with Daniel Jones, now fourth in the depth chart. I mentioned the surprise in Minnesota, Michael. Didn't see this coming. We see that Sam Darnold limited in practice with that foot injury on Wednesday. Cause for concern there, or limited? We're just taking some precautions with a guy that they clearly need right now to keep this winning streak going.
I think he might have gotten stepped on or something in the game, which maybe he's got some swelling in his ankle or something going on with his foot. But I think, to me, Wednesday practices in November are more rest days than ever. They're walkthroughs, they're introduction to the game plan. I don't think people are going – the good teams are, but I don't think they're really going full speed at it, right?
Yep.
So, for me, this is really just, you know, let's see what happens. Let's see how this all works out. But I think today's a big day for Sam Darnold. If he's limited again today and they're having to give reps to Nick Mullen or someone else, then, you know, you might be a little worried. I expect Kittle and Purdy to play. I think Purdy probably got hit on his shoulder and hurt his arm. I think the one that we have to monitor for that game in San Francisco is Bosa.
Yeah, Bosa, the right now, too early to call is what they're saying officially for Bosa in that big Sunday night game. And the Vikings on the road, by the way, 3.5-point favorites over the Bears. And again, if you're trying to get down on, say, $10,000 or more in an NFL line at the best price in the market, or perhaps you want to get your in-game play instantly accepted, well, introducing Sporttrade, the app that's going to change sports betting. $4 lines instead of the typical $10, instant in-game betting, a concierge player service. Sporttrade is perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sporttrade is live in Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and now Virginia. So download Sporttrade, use the code VEASAN, earn 10% cash back on each wager in your very first week. Terms do apply. Must be 21 years of age or older. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Some other injury notes. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Ramsey, both limited in practice for the Dolphins on Wednesday. So again, limited, maybe it raises a flag a little bit, but really, as Michael pointed out, Thursday would be the bigger day. Dolphins feel like, Michael, that, you know, they get their guys back healthy. You got Tua back healthy. They do have a long injury report here, but this feels like a team with a schedule and a game, 7-point favorites against the Patriots this weekend, that maybe they can make a late run for maybe that final wild card spot.
Well, I think they're in position, right? I mean, they've got themselves here. I think the two games that you worried about that are cold weather games at the end of the year, you know, maybe they're going to be against teams that you don't think are going to be very good. I was always, they got Cleveland and the Jets at the end of the year, and I always said, look, that's going to be an issue. I was expecting Cleveland and the Jets to be a little bit better, not to be competing for the first pick overall in the draft. So, look, they got New England this week. They have to go to Green Bay. We get them on Thanksgiving night, right? Yep. That's going to be a great game. It should be a cold weather game. We'll see if Tua can handle that. And then they still have to go to Houston, Dave, which is no walk in the park. They still have to play San Francisco out in, at home, but they play San Francisco. So for me, you know, one thing I would say, Green Bay, Houston, San Francisco, they can't lose any. They got to be able to win those games. But look, in the AFC, can they get in? They're competing against Denver, right? Yeah. I mean, I think it's Denver and them for the seventh spot. If you look at it, where are the Chargers? The Chargers could be in the six if they lose this week. There's a few teams there, I think, that make it a little bit more problematic.
Cowboys are getting 10.5 in D.C. against the Commanders. They've got some issues, not just with their play, but now with their players. Zach Martin, Tyler Smith in the offensive line did not practice. CeeDee Lamb was actually limited in this one. Conversely, Marshawn Lattimore, we had a DMP on Wednesday. So I thought everybody in D.C. was kind of excited to get him back, and then you see that minor setback there. For the Cowboys, that interior with maybe no Smith and no Zach Martin, I mean, Michael, I just don't see how they, with no running game, Cooper Rush, a patchwork offensive line, I mean, good luck if you're taking the points in the Cowboys on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think that 10's such a big number. You're always worried about a backdoor cover, but how are you going to get anything going offensively to backdoor cover? Look, Washington has done a wonderful job this year. They're the third best team in the NFL playing from in front. They score early in the game. They make you have to throw it. And the more Cooper Rush has to throw it, the more problems that are going to show up on your team. I think that's going to be the real issue. Look, Zach Martin's not the same player. I think to me that he's on the injury list. Whoever they put in there, it's not going to be that much of a downgrade. It really isn't, because Zach isn't playing very well. Tyler Smith hasn't played very well. This whole offensive line really hasn't played well. The two best players are BB and Guyton. They're two rookies.
Yep.
They've played much better. So, you know, I think to me this comes down to going on the road, trying to play. Washington's coming off a rest. You think that they're pretty good right now in terms of being able to attack a very bad defense of the Cowboys.
The best news for Cowboy backers out there, Deron Bland was a full participant in practice, has not played all year. So after that great year last year, maybe he's going to see his first action of the year in D.C. on Sunday. Bryce Huff is going to be out for some significant time here for the Eagles. Surgery for his wrist. They do hope to get him back before the end of the year. Michael, how big a loss will that be to the Eagles defense?
He hasn't played well, David, at all. I mean, you know, they're not missing him at all. He's been very disappointed. They paid him a lot of money.
Yep.
He's going to have to take a pay cut, or he's going to get cut next year, because he certainly, that's one of Howie Roseman's misses. He hasn't played well. I thought he was going to be a really good player for them, but he hasn't done it. Nolan Smith has actually done more for them than Huff has. I think to me, the pick that's made the most sense is Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
He's been sensational. And he's played almost every play, and he stayed in shape. That's been the key to the Eagles' defense.
Yeah, cardio issues last year, not so much this year. Playing a lot there and clogging up the middle, that's for sure. Harry Gagnon's going to join us in the next segment. He was on fire last week. Can't wait to get his plays for Thursday Night Football tonight. Come on back. It is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We kick off week number 12 in the NFL tonight. It's going to be the Steelers and the Browns. So here to break it down with us, Michael, on this Thursday. Welcome back to the program, Harry Gagnon. You can follow Harry as I do on X at AAO Harry, host of the Against All Odds podcast, and joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Harry, great to have you back in the program. A couple weeks ago, my friend, you were on fire giving out your plays here on the Lombardi Line. It's going to be cold tonight in Cleveland, Harry, but we're going to stay on fire with your picks tonight. Browns getting 3.5. Total got steamed down to 36, bounces back up to 37. Do you like a side, a total, or maybe some props out there?
I like a lot, Dave. I like a lot here, believe it or not, in this crazy game, but I'm going to take the Browns. I'm going to stay and take the Browns here at +3.5. I got some, not a ton, but I've got some faith in Jameis Winston at home. When Cleveland actually owns the Steelers. They actually own the Steelers in Cleveland the past 6 years. The Browns are 4-1-1 straight up at home in the last six home games versus Pittsburgh. And in the last seven games between these two in Cleveland, Pittsburgh has won by more than three just once, and that was by five. Listen, I do a lot of homework for this stuff, guys. I do more homework, I think, doing football stuff than I ever did in college or high school. I'll tell you this, because check this out. Oddly, Cleveland is 6-0 straight up in their last six Thursday games, and two of those wins are against Mike Tomlin. Give me the 3.5 in bad weather.
Well, you're doubling down on Jameis Winston, too. You think he's going to have a hell of a night. You're taking his over prop on yards passing, right?
Yes, Michael, I am. I'm going to go over 200-plus passing yards. Cleveland hasn't had much of a running game lately. They haven't eclipsed 80 yards rushing in four straight games, meaning it's up to Winston to manufacture most drives in his three starts. He's had 235 versus the Chargers, 334 versus Baltimore in that win, and had 395 last week versus former team, the Saints.
I cannot believe he threw for 395, and they only mustered, 13 points, whatever it was down there. I mean, it's just insane to think of the way that game script worked out last week. You know, Harry, by the way, I was the same as you. I kept a football notebook in high school. If I kept other notebooks for classwork, I would have been a better student. Let's get to the first touchdown prop that you have here for this one. And maybe you look into the Browns tight end to sneak in at a pretty good number.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago we caught Chase Brown 7-1 with the Bengals. So we're going to go with David Njoku at 15-1. Now, Njoku has had at least seven targets in five straight games. 3 weeks ago, he had Cleveland's first touchdown in their win versus the Ravens. And in his last five games, guys, versus Pittsburgh, Njoku has three touchdowns. One of them was a first touchdown for Cleveland, and another one was a first touchdown of the game. David Njoku, 15-1, guys, first touchdown.
All right, well, let's shift over. I know you and your teaser program can go from college to pro and kind of blend it all in. But let's start on the college game, Notre Dame-Army. You know, we saw Army and Navy. We saw Navy play Notre Dame a few weeks ago. It wasn't close. Army goes in 14.5-point dog. You're going to take them, though, this week, huh?
I'm going to take Army here. I'm banking on the Black Knights defense that has been lights out all season. Now, granted, they haven't played the greatest competition, but still, eight of their nine games, Army has given up just 14 points or less. They forced 14 interceptions. The Irish, by the way, they are rolling right now. I know this. It's tough taking the 14.5 knowing how the Irish are playing, but they haven't had a great passing game all year. They haven't had a receiver record 90 yards or more in any game all year. And again, I'm banking on Army's defense, Michael, and they're over 3,000 yards rushing to keep it close in the Bronx as the game is in Yankee Stadium.
But these are two really good teams, ATS. You see the Black Knights are 7-2. Notre Dame's been 8-2, which is a bit surprising because normally you got to pay that tax with Notre Dame. You know, I'm just looking at the futures market, and I see Notre Dame's 18-1 to win the national championship, Harry. And again, I'm not going to get on my soapbox about the college football playoff. It's here. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to bet it. We're all going to watch it. There's no value in that number in Notre Dame, right? If you're playing Army this week, not saying you think Army can win the game, but do you really think Notre Dame, if they do, because right now they're sixth in this new rankings, is that number not good enough to back a team like Notre Dame to win the whole thing?
I just don't love Notre Dame. Riley Leonard's been very good lately, I get it, but had a tough start to the season, and they have that one loss to Northern Illinois. I didn't love their schedule overall either. So I'm not a big fan of taking Notre Dame. And look, beginning of the season, my team that I gave out and against all odds was Penn State. Mm. They're still holding strong. Just keep winning their games. I know they lost Ohio State, the only game they really had to play, but it was close. I still have some faith in Penn State. I gave out Michigan last year and against all odds. So I did hit the national championship last year at 10-1. I still have, guys, I like Penn State still, because I know they didn't beat Ohio State, but they don't have to play in the Big Ten championship. They can just lay back, and whoever they have to play in the first round, I think they can get things going because I love their running game, and they've got a lot of experience and great defense. I'm still banking on Penn State at 20-1. I think they're a sleeper.
All right, so let's do the Harry special, because this is always your expertise. This is your wheelhouse, if you will. You're going to combine college and pro together. You're going to take Nebraska over Wisconsin and get 4.5 here, right? And then you're going to play the over 41 for the Rams-Eagles game. Is that right?
Love it, Michael. Yeah, look, I'm taking Nebraska plus.
And tell us why you love it. I can't wait to hear this.
Well, with a win, you got to remember, with a win, Nebraska will become bowl eligible. I think Dylan Raiola plays tough in this game at home for Matt Rhule. And I think really my main factor in this, you could still lose this game by a field goal in Nebraska and win on the teaser, because I think Wisconsin last week at home at Camp Randall gave all they had against Oregon. I don't think they have anything left in the tank as they go on the road here to Lincoln. I like Nebraska plus the 4.5. And yes, Michael, I like Philadelphia and L.A. over 41. The Eagles offense is rolling. They're averaging 31 points over the last five games. Barkley has been a beast. Jalen Hurts, 15 total touchdowns in his last five games. And the Rams, look, Rams are healthy, finally. And they've scored 26 points or more in three of the last four games. A big shootout on Sunday night. Over 41, Nebraska plus 4.5.
Wait a minute, Harry. You're breaking two of the gambling tenets, right? You can't tease through zero, and you can't tease totals. Haven't I been told that my whole life?
We're degenerates. We're probably told that in high school by our bookies, right? But
that's right.
But I'm still doing it.
I actually don't hate that. I actually like those plays a lot, because again, especially the Nebraska game, you think Wisconsin is probably going to be a field goal game. So take that 4.5 points there. Now you've got a home dog scenario there. And I actually like your play in the Eagles in the Rams game to go over. Very quickly, Harry, before we say goodbye for this edition, is there anything in the futures market? Michael and I were talking about the Ravens at plus $1.60 to win this division. If you like the Browns tonight to potentially win this game, and I know you're going to grab that 3.5 points with Cleveland tonight, would you look to Baltimore at plus money to win the AFC North?
Yeah, maybe. It's just, I'll tell you what, with the Ravens secondary, the way it's been playing, I mean, I know there was a different game last week against Pittsburgh, but it might be tough for them to overcome. Defensively, they have been very shoddy all season. Pittsburgh, big win at home last week over the Ravens. I don't know. It's almost like, you know, and with George Pickens, the way he's played over the last four games, he's been spectacular. He's been like all pro caliber. And Pittsburgh being 8-2, 4-1 on the road. I don't know, guys. I kind of leaning towards Pittsburgh, and I had them not making the playoffs this year, but they've turned my thoughts about how they're playing. And even if Russell Wilson doesn't put up big numbers like he didn't last week, zero touchdowns, one pick, still can manufacture wins. Najee Harris has been good too. I don't know. I'm still kind of thinking, guys, Pittsburgh, you got to leave the price for the division, but I think you have to do that because the Ravens defense overall, I will say this though, at even money in the NFC West, I know I mentioned that to you guys a couple weeks ago at plus 220. Now the way with San Francisco's not, you know, tough schedule hurting, you know, Rams are coming on a little bit, but now when I gave out a couple of weeks ago, cards at plus 220, the way Kyler Murray's been playing with 18 total touchdowns and just three picks, it was plus 220 for the division. Now, if you want the Cardinals, you're only getting even money.
Yeah, somebody's ahead of the action there, Harry. Great call. Now you got to lay it if you want it with Arizona to win the West. Mm-hmm. Always appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight. Going to get our first snow game, Harry. So appreciate you joining us here on a Thursday.
Going to be fun. Thanks Harry. Guys.
Great stuff. Great stuff from Harry. Check him out against all odds each and every week. And again, if you are a race player, you want to bet on those ponies, we got you covered at First Bet. So First Bet is a U.S.-based company offering wagers on hundreds of races every single day across the country and around the world. FirstBet.com, that's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VEASAN200. You're going to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. So head over to FirstBet.com and do so today. Michael, when we come back, let's get your power ratings on some teams, who's dropped in, who's out of the rankings. That's next here in the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are back here on the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi here with you. A lot of fun having Harry Gagnon on in the last segment. Mike Palm is going to join us in studio in hour number two. And, of course, former NFL quarterback Chris Sims does a great job at NBC as an analyst now. He's going to join us to round out the show today. So a lot to get to here on a busy Thursday. But we have to talk about your power ratings and the rankings for this week, Michael. In the top 10, and you know me, I like to start from 10 and go forward. And I think the big surprise to people, if we can start at 10, that this team dropped 5 spots in your rankings. Will you tell the people who comes in at number 10 this week?
Well, it obviously is the Chiefs, but I think to me, what you have to be really understanding about my rankings is there's no subjectivity. I just didn't put them there. That's where the numbers put them, right? And that's where you have to be really careful about this. This is why I want to take away subjectivity out of it, because when you look at it, you know, I mean, their defensive sack per play, they're supposed to be a really good sack team. Their defensive sack per percentage is 27th, right? Their third down offense, in terms of how many third downs they get into, their yards per attempt, all those numbers add up. Now, look, they're still really good. Their numbers came in at a really good number at 174, which in most cases would have put them more in the top 5 than in the top 10. But you've got a lot of teams right now, when I look at my rankings, that are really playing well, and you've got some really bad teams, obviously, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but there's, like, right now, I mean, the difference between Kansas City and Denver, right, or, you know, some of those teams is so small. And, look, we know Denver had a chance to beat them, right? So I just think you have to be really careful when your eyes can be really deceiving to you. They can be really deceiving. And so you've got to be really careful to not let that happen. Denver's numbers have been outstanding, and they keep improving every week, right? And so I have 11 teams below the 200-point threshold, which is rare for me. If I go back last year and look at these numbers, like I'll go ahead in here, Dave, and I'll go ahead. Week 13 last year, I had 7 teams below the 200. Wow. So there's a lot of teams that are just obviously playing pretty good football, but then I've got a lot of teams in a really bad category, which is that 350 category, which is really, you know, over 300, you're not a good team. You know, you've got 18 categories and you've accumulated. I mean, the Panthers are 386, Jacksonville's 367. I mean, Las Vegas is 358, your Cowboys are 367.
Oh boy.
And so that typically what it does is it sets the point spread for me. Like Cleveland's 323. I mean, tonight's game, when I look at my line for tonight's game, 7. I know that's unrealistic, right? Because Cleveland's point total and Pittsburgh's point total is 193 points separates them. So I divide 18 into 193 and take away the points for the home field and all that. And then you come up with a number of 7, and you just know that's too many points, right?
Sure.
You know that's way too many points. So my numbers say take Pittsburgh, but then you just can't go analytically like that. You've got to analyze the situation and understand it, you know, and go through it. My numbers have actually been better this year than my instincts have.
Well, I tell you, I love the system because, again, for everybody that's new to this segment, this is not Michael – you know, subjectively saying, oh, I'm going to drop the Chiefs down. Here's where the numbers put them. They're going to put them behind Denver, right? The Packers don't move. The Vikings and Commanders both go up a spot. And the Chargers, even with that good win, slipped out. And I think, Michael, the point about you going back to last year tells me that there's maybe more haves this year and certainly more have-nots, right? The demarcation line in the NFL.
No question.
You see the separation. Your numbers are showing you that.
No question. You see it here. And look, now, like, let's take the Giants, right?
Yep.
I have the Giants against Tampa. I have that as a 3.11 game, okay? The line has gone up to 6. Mm. It's up to 6 this morning when I checked on it. Now, here's the problem. All the Giants' numbers are based on Daniel Jones.
Right.
Now Tommy DeVito comes in. So how do you handicap that? Is Tommy DeVito 3-point difference than Daniel Jones? He may be, right? So, you know, you have to sit there and say, well, maybe that's something to consider here. So I think you have to be really careful about just being so pure into the numbers. You got to look at the situations. You got to look at the injuries too, right?
Yeah.
And like last week, it was just, to me, San Francisco and Seattle were too close for that game to be a 6.5-point spread. They were just too close. Whereas this week, they go to Green Bay, San Francisco, you know, and I have Green Bay at 3.61. The line went down to 2 today.
Mm.
So there's some give there to take Green Bay if you want to take Green Bay, if you want to strictly play numbers. But, you know, and again, it certainly would move. It would be a better play if Bosa was. So you got to wait for the Bosa injury. You got to wait for all those things that come in. I just think, to me, you have to have some way to take bias out of your evaluation.
Yeah.
And you know, some of these numbers are wrong. Like Baltimore, I think, is not as good as their numbers, because they are some deficiencies within their defense, but they make up for it with their offense. This week I have Baltimore and the Charger game. I have it almost as a pick 'em game.
Hmm. And the Chargers are getting points at home. So maybe it leads you towards that home dog. And again, you see the Ravens are number 5 in your list, dropping back one spot. The Steelers moving up 2 spots with that win. No change at 1, 2, and 3. You can understand that, as good as those 3 teams are playing right now. Certainly the Lions at number 1. It's funny because, you know, we might have quarreled a week ago with the numbers, with the Chiefs being undefeated. And all of a sudden, a week later, you go, no, those numbers bore out exactly the way they should. Clearly, eye tests and the numbers proving the Lions are the best team. Steelers moving up to 4, Michael. Again, Tomlin doesn't care about aesthetics. He doesn't care how it looks. He doesn't care what people say, who they should play, who should be the quarterback. They just figure out ways to win. The numbers bearing that out, that this could really be a top 5 team in the NFL.
Right. I mean, look, they play well. They're good defensively. They don't give up big plays. I mean, the only category that they're poor in, Dave, is their offensive line sack percentage is at 27th. Other than that, they're in the top 10 in most categories. You know, third down defense, they're only 13th. And defensive sack per play percentage, they're at 20th. So their numbers are really good. Their power ranking, their last 5 games, you got to count the last 5 games. They're the 4th best team over the last 5 games statistically. You have to count that into the equation. Like, the Eagles are number 2 in that category. Mm. Like, you just can't go by what's happening over the last – like, Denver's the 7th best team over the last 5 games statistically when you break those numbers down. You have to have that in there, because if you don't categorize that – like, Arizona's 8th in that category. I mean, Arizona's playing really well. The only thing they can't do is they're just not a good defensive team, so their numbers go up.
Fascinating. That I think we need to, we'll find out tonight, but start taking the Steelers a little bit more seriously. Michael's number certainly taking that into account, up 2 spots to number 4. Let's get to the top 5 quarterbacks, Michael, according to the numbers. And again, we had 1 J drop out, but 4 of the 5 are all J's. You got a Josh, Jared, a Joe, and a Jaden, making that number 5 spot there. So let's start with Jaden Daniels here, because you don't see rookies in this rarefied air in a quarterback driven league, but no. Here he is at number 5 in your list.
Well, I mean, you know, the kids, I mean, like, one of the things I think that has to happen is you've got to be able to – he's got to get back to some kind of a run game, right? I mean, he's got to use his feet more to make that happen, and I think that certainly helps up. But we've seen 2 teams now play him a different style, and I think ultimately that's been, you know, something that Washington needs to go back, take a look at, examine, how do we want to play this. But, I mean, his numbers, his accuracy, Dave, has been outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
His big play down the field has been unbelievable. So when you break all his numbers down, I mean, it's just, you know, his expected completion percentage, all those things are outstanding.
Yeah, he's been everything that they could have hoped for and then some. And, again, you see that Jalen Hurts dropped out of the top 5 here. Michael, what are you seeing out of Jalen? Because sometimes it still doesn't wow you with the eye test, but they are winning football games now in Philadelphia. What are you seeing out of Jalen Hurts this year?
Well, I think, to me, he was 6th on the list, so he could have gotten back in it. Tua would have been 7th if I had to put him in there. But Tua's only played 218 plays, so it's tough to kind of go through that. And the level of comp that Miami's played isn't really that. I think Hurts is playing really well.
Yeah.
I think he's handling the pressure better than he ever has. I think this will be a big test for him out in Los Angeles. I think they should win this game. I think when you break the game down, can the Rams cover these outside receivers? I think A.J. Brown's critical to the offense. And they've got to keep running Barkley. I mean, look, you're worried that Barkley's, can he stay healthy for the whole season? You hope he can because he's been dynamic.
Yep, he really has. By the way, if you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber yet, you need to do so. We got a Black Friday special, Thanksgiving right around the corner. You sign up today, you're going to have access to VSiN Pro, everything we do through May 1st for only $60. So again, visit VSiN.com/subscribe. Sign up now, Black Friday special. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Hour number two straight ahead. Mike Palm in the studio, and also Chris Sims to round out the show.